And so the people gathered their families, their livestock, their children, and headed out. Cries of freedom, tears of joy, shouts of praise and rejoicing, because they were finally set free from the slavery of the Egyptians. No longer would they be downtrodden and kicked. No longer would they be put aside as they had been for so many years, for they were no longer a tribe, but they were now a people destined for a new land, a new home. And the people cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." They lowered palm branches. They celebrated this coming king, he who was the prophet, who would overthrow the Roman Empire and bring back the Jewish nation. They were filled with hope because they saw that this was a new time for them, a new beginning. But the Lord led the people back around again and to camp in front of the sea. He knew that they would not have the courage to wage war against the Philistines. He knew their hearts and wills were too weak to face war. So he brought them around and into the wilderness, camping them before the Red Sea. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal Zephon. You shall encamp facing it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, 'They are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in.'" He was betrayed by one of his closest and doubt set in amongst the people. Some who had proclaimed Hosanna to the Son of David now cried out to crucify him. For God knew the heart of man was fickle, full of selfishness and pride. The heart of man was tainted by sin. A human king would never be able to lead these people. No, the root of the problem went much deeper. Sin reigned in their hearts, and an earthly king could not heal a spiritual problem. So Jesus was brought back around, taken from the city to a private place where he was put on trial. And the Egyptians, regretting letting the people go, they would not let them go so easily. These people were their slaves. So they gathered 600 of their chariots and they called together their army and they went to pursue and overtake the Israelites. Trapped between the Red Sea and the army of the Egyptians, there is no way out. The Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamped at the sea by Pi Hahiroth in front of Baal Zephon. And Jesus, taken before Pilate, was condemned to die. The Pharisees and Jesus' enemies had conspired to condemn this innocent man to death. They would not let him live. The king would never reign over them. His death would end their problems. There was no way out. And the people began to complain, "Have you brought us here to die? The old way of life was better. Are there not enough graves in Egypt? Where is this promised land? Where is this God?" And the people began to fear, "Where is our Savior now? How can Jesus be crucified so easily? Where is the revolution? Where is this king to overthrow the Romans? Where is this promised land? Where is this God?" And aren't our complaints the same? "God, why did you create a world like this with suffering? God, why couldn't you have given me a life like this? God, why did you make me this way? God, why does my family have to suffer? God, where is this promised land? Where are you, God?" But God does not defend himself. He does not need to. And Moses tells the people, "The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be silent. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." And Jesus hangs on the cross. He fights against the sin of this world. He fights against the sin of this people. He fights against the sin of your heart. He will defeat it. He has defeated it. He is defeating it. And Jesus hangs on the cross and he cries out, "It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, Moses says. And God tells Moses to tell the people of Israel to go forward. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and their left. The sea should be their tomb. The sea should be the death of them. With the Egyptians behind them and the sea in front of them, there was no way out. Death was imminent. And yet, here it is, parted. It is a pathway to the promised land, to a new journey, a new adventure, a new beginning with God. It is their beginning to know and begin this relationship of understanding who this God is. Who is this Yahweh? Who is this Holy One? God, in his power, in his salvation, opens a way for them to cross over to the other side. And Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried. He was placed in the tomb, but he did not stay there. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Mary comes to the grave. An angel says to her, he is not here, for he has risen. And so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. The tomb which should have been the end, the tomb which should have held death and kept Jesus there, that tomb was opened. And a way of life was opened for them. And a new beginning was opened for them. Where death used to be the end, Jesus had conquered it. Resurrection, to be born again, to come back to life. But this life, the life of Jesus Christ, is different than every other life. Filled with the Spirit, it is the beginning of the dawn of a life eternal. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and their left. The enemies of the people of Israel had pursued them into the sea, and yet they were destroyed. The enemies of the Lord would not stand. The horse and rider were cast into the sea. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. For Jesus defeated sin and death. He took them and cast them away forever. And the enemies of the Lord were cast into the sea. And as Jesus resurrected, so he comes now as reigning conqueror. He is the coming king. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you have the faith of the Israelites to put the blood of the Passover lamb on their doorposts and lintels? Do you believe this to step forward in faith in front of a raging sea? Do you believe that Jesus has opened the way for you, that he has parted the sea that once divided us from him. The message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ, and that you are now invited to belong to it. And as the Red Sea parted and the curtain was torn from top to bottom, we who were once separated from life, and we who were once separated from God the Father, are now brought into his kingdom and invited onto his journey. We who were once slaves are now called children of God. We who were once in darkness are now in his light. We who were once condemned are now forgiven. How beautiful it is to know that we who should be chained and cast aside have been set free. That we've been given a crown, feet clothed, readied. God's love for us is so great. And he has shown his way of salvation. So then why do we still long for our days of Egypt? Why do we still complain against our God? Why do we still yearn for the things which hold us back? Why do we close our eyes to the life of God? The Lord has fought for us. The Lord is victorious. The Lord is risen. We should no longer be complaining or looking backwards, but we should look ahead to the glory that Jesus has for us. He is now the conquering hero, and the time is coming when all men shall know and all men will bow their knee to the glory of the Lord. The Lord has fought for us. The Lord is victorious. The Lord is risen. Jesus lives, and death shall no longer hold him. So then, where do you stand? When you stand facing the sea to the front and the armies to the back of you, who do you trust in? When death encircles you and encloses upon you, who can you go to trust? These things from the past, our old desires, our old life, the days of Egypt, they come and they chase us down. They threaten us. They tell us that we are still slaves, that we still belong to those people. But God tells us differently. He says, "The Lord will fight for you. Be still. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord." Are our hearts and our eyes afraid, fearful of the past, fearful of the future? Or do we step forward in faith? Do we step forward in hope? Do we step forward in the truth, knowing that Jesus has risen? Death could not hold him. He lives today. Shall we pray? Lord, your Bible is filled with amazing parallels, actually. Things that can't just be put together by some lucky author years and years ago, but it was and is crafted by you. It is your story to us, your call to us to know you. God, right now I just ask that your Spirit come upon us and begin convicting our hearts for the areas that we have gone astray, the things that we still hold on to in the past, the lies that we still believe. Lord, we say that we lay these down at the foot of your cross now. Jesus, that you come and you deal with these things instead, that we desire to follow you, Lord, to live this life set free in you. You say, let our hearts not be troubled because you have overcome this world. So let our spirit rejoice and celebrate because you are the risen King. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.